John 13, 1 through 8. And keep your Bible open, because that's going to be the theme of the sermon today. Now, before the feast of Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come, that he should depart from this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. And supper being ended, the devil having already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God, rose from supper and laid aside his garments, took a towel, and girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. Then he came to Simon Peter, and Peter said to him, "Lord, are you washing my feet?" Jesus answered and said unto him, "What I am doing you do not understand now, but you will know after this." Peter said to him, "You shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered him, "If I do not wash you, you will have no part in me." And with that, I want to make one last announcement. Next Sabbath, Pastor Evans will be given the sermon, and we will be having foot washing and communion.
Good morning. It's good to see all of you here on this Sabbath day. Well, here we are, one quarter of the way through the year. Imagine the 3 months have gone by so quickly. As Dr. Luke announced, there will be communion next Sabbath, so I thought that it would be pertinent that we take a look at what was going on at that time. As well, for us to review what took place on that Thursday evening so long ago, a decisive moment in time. History-altering events were unfolding in the world, and for individuals, even for you and me. Notice that John describes four ideas that appear to be uppermost in the mind of Jesus. One, Jesus knew that his hour had come, that he was going to be killed. Two, Jesus knew that he would depart from this world. Three, Jesus knew that the Father had handed all things to him. And four, Jesus knew he had come from God and would go back to God. We have seen what is in the mind of Jesus, and we will briefly explore three vital lessons that flow from his thinking. But it may be also important to understand what was in the minds of the disciples shortly before arriving at the place for the Passover meal. Judas had agreed to betray Jesus. We know what was on his mind. The Gospel of Mark informs us that while Jesus and his disciples were on the way to Jerusalem, James and John made a request for power and position. "Let us sit at your right and the other at your left in your glory." That comes from Mark chapter 10, verse 37, New International Version. Now we know what was on their minds. Mark continues to say that when the other disciples heard about the request of James and John, they became indignant toward both of them. Now we have an insight to their minds. Can you imagine the scene? 12 men and their leader assembled in proximity with each other, but miles apart in their thinking and relationships. So much so that none of the 12 could even consider performing the customary courtesy of washing the feet of guests. The service of foot washing can be such an awkward thing for us because we just can't understand or experience the culture and the custom of the day. We can only describe it and try to imagine what took place. This essential courtesy was the duty of slaves or servants, depending on what was going on. No Jew was required or even expected to wash the feet of another Jew. In this situation, it is each man for himself. No doubt Jesus had things to tell him that would be of crucial importance to their lives after he was no longer with them. Later, he said to them, "I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now." That comes from John 16, verse 12, in the English Standard Version. In this fractured and self-centered atmosphere, where a thin veneer of fellowship disguised a competitive and judgmental relationship, Jesus seized the moment to convey a timeless lesson. He washed their feet. This was least expected of a teacher, countercultural and contrary to the human spirit of self-importance. This he performs to their amazement and shame. Here's the first message arising from this episode. I'll call it the priority of service, humility, and love. No doubt Jesus had much he wanted to teach his disciples about propositional truth, about doctrine, maybe how they should carry on missions in his physical absence. After all, truth matters. But it is evident from the action of Jesus that attitude in action is more important than accuracy in doctrine. It is possible to know the truth and yet be emotionally immature and relationally incompetent. In such cases, the truth becomes weaponized, and that which was meant to build and establish is used to defeat and destroy. The teaching and example of Jesus, the teaching and the appeal of the New Testament writers, emphasize the priority of love. When Jesus was asked about the great commandment, he replied in Matthew 22, verse 37, Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind." And then he continued on in Matthew 22, verses 39 through 40, "And the second is like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." And Paul admonishes the church in Rome. In Romans chapter 13, verse 8, Paul writes, "Owe no one anything except to love one another, for he who loves one another has fulfilled the law." We learn from this pain and embarrassing episode for the disciples, Jesus places priority in service, humility, and love, the readiness to put the interests and needs of others above our own. There comes quickly a second great realization from this act of Jesus washing the feet of the disciples. I'll call it the limitation of presenting understanding. Let us hear from John's description of the events. In John 13, 6 and 7, he writes, "Then he came to Simon Peter, and Peter said to him, 'Lord, are you washing my feet?' Jesus answered and said to him, 'What I am doing now, you do not understand now, but you will after this.'" Perhaps we can understand and even defend Peter for his objection to what Jesus was doing. Bold and assertive, Peter was offended and ashamed that his master would stoop to such a menial task. Peter feels diminished by the humility of Jesus and wants to rescue himself, to spare himself shame, and perhaps, secondly, to protect the honor of Jesus. In identifying with Peter, let us not overlook the response of Jesus to the protest of Peter. John writes in John 13, verse 7, "Jesus answered and said to him, 'What I am doing, you do not understand now, but you will know after this.'" When we all admit that there are times, maybe many times, when we question what God is doing in our lives, we believe we have surrendered to him and that he guides in every detail of our pathways. And then comes a diagnosis of cancer, a devastating disease, a sudden death of a family member, a catastrophic financial disaster, a disruptive relocation or a new job, the loss of a home, rejection from a trusted relationship. And the list goes on and on. It is an essential part of the Christian life that we realize we do not always know what is going on in our lives. We are called to live by faith, trust in one who is committed to our best good. There will be many things we do not understand, things that have no apparent logic, things devoid of purpose. In these moments, we must recall Jesus' words to Peter, "You will understand later." Learning to trust God is a crisis moment for many believers. Accepting His ordering of our lives when we are confused and hurting can bring us to the edge of fear and faith. In those moments, we must recall the assurance that Jesus gave to Peter, an assurance that we will understand later. Amen. We now come to the third part of the insight from this humiliating experience for the disciples when Jesus washed their feet. And I call this the futility of self-reliance in the spiritual life. Let us again listen closely to the dialogue between Peter and Jesus. And Peter said to him, "You shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered him, "If I do not wash you, you have no part of me." If I do not wash you, sounds very exclusionary. Yet is there not a revolutionary truth here? Spiritual transformation in my life happens under the power of God, not under my own effort. John 13, verses 14 to 15 says, "If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you." I believe Jesus was underscoring the priority of humility, service, and love, the limits of present understanding and reliance on faith in Him, and the futility of self-reliance in the spiritual life. Grace and power are powered by someone else. I'd also like to read from the Spirit of Prophecy what Ellen White has to say. This comes from The Desire of Ages, page 644, 645. "This action opened the eyes of the disciples. Bitter shame and humiliation filled their hearts. They understood the unspoken rebuke and saw themselves in altogether a new light. So Christ expressed His love for His disciples. Their selfish spirit filled Him with sorrow, but He entered into no controversy with them regarding their difficulty. Instead, He gave them an example they would never forget." And she also writes in Desire of Ages, page 650, "In these words, Christ was not merely enjoining the practice of hospitality. More was meant than washing of the feet to guests to remove the dust of travel. Christ was there instituting a religious service. By the act of our Lord, this humiliating ceremony was made a consecrated ordinance. It was to be observed by the disciples that they might ever keep in mind His lessons of humility and service." And so it is for us to this day. In conclusion, I'd like to say, may this be the frame of mind in which we serve each other and in return receive a ministry of love from another. Heavenly Father, as we leave this sanctuary, we pray that You will go with us, keep us safe. We pray that we have learned a lesson from Jesus' example way back when with the Last Supper with His disciples. We pray that we'll take that to heart and know that it was for our good, that no one is better than anybody else, and that we should be a servant to each other. In Christ's name, I ask it. Amen.